Today's shiur is Masech to Kedushin Daf Mem Hey. We will begin on Daf Mem Dalar Amid Beis, in the middle of the Amid by the two dots. Itmar. Tana Shneskach Shloil Dasavia. We know that a Ktana, only her father has the right to accept the Kedushin on her behalf. Discusses our Gemara. What will be the din if Ktana Shneskach Shloil Dasavia, she became Kedushas without her father's knowledge? What is the din? Am Shmuel, says Shmuel, Tzrichi Get v'Tzrichi Miyun. She requires both a Get and a Miyun. And the Rishonim discuss that although our Gemara is referring to a Ktana, Rav Achei Goyin says a very big Chiddush, that the same din would apply by a Nara. The Rashba takes exception to what Rav Achei Goyin says, because he says we don't find in any area of Halacha that a Nara should be a candidate for Miyun. So our Gemara is saying that she is required to have Miyun. We're going to explain in a moment why. So it says the Rashba, our Gemara therefore cannot be referring to a Nara. Others, Rishonim say, that our Gemara is not just speaking about a Ketana, our Gemara is also referring to a Nara. But as we just said a moment ago, a Nara cannot be a candidate for Miyun, and therefore by Nara, who became Mukadeshes Shloil Dasavia, the din would be that she's required to have a get, and there's a requirement for Achroza. An announcement has to be made exactly what happened here. Yet another opinion I saw is that the Gemara specifically avoided discussing a Nara, because in the previous year we had a Machloikis, and according, at least to Rish Lakish, according to some Tanoim, the halacha is that a Nara can accept Kedushin herself and it would be perfectly valid. Therefore the Gemara wanted to speak about a situation where this question is a question according to all opinions, and therefore the Gemara discussed the situation of a Ketana. And therefore Amar Shmuel, the halacha is such a girl tzricha get v'tzricha miyun. Says the Gemara, Amar Karna, when Karna heard Shmuel's psak, he says Dvarim begoy, that's a very problematic decision. Im get lama miyun, and a miyun lama get. If a get is required, then miyun ought not to be required. And if miyun is required, a get should not be required. We never find, says Karna, that both a get and a miyun are required. Amrle, so they said to Karna, Humar ukva obeidina bekafri, we have Mar ukva and his bezdin are in Kafri. Posh pshat in the Gemara is, and Mar ukva is a student of Shmuel, we can go ask Mar ukva what and why Shmuel said what he did. Says the Gemara, Abchush Abdrul Kamei Rav. And they went and they asked the question to Rav. So of course all the Mepharshim tried to understand this Gemara. The Gemara says they said that Mar ukva, who's a Talmud of Shmuel, is nearby. Let's go ask Mar ukva. And then the Gemara says they didn't ask Mar ukva, they asked Rav. So some Mepharshim explain that what they meant to say really was the number of pshatim in the Rishonim. One pshat in the Rishonim is, what they meant to say is that there was a question based on what Karna said, did Shmuel indeed ever say this? So they said, Shmuel, Mar ukva is a Talmud of Shmuel's, and Mar ukva can corroborate that this is indeed what Shmuel said. Another pshat is that originally they decided that they would go ask Mar ukva what is the halacha. But then they realized that Mar ukva was a Talmud of Shmuel's. And given that he was a Talmud of Shmuel's, it was very unlikely that he would disagree with his Rebbe. And because of that, they decided to ask the question not of Mar ukva, but rather they decided to ask the question to Rav. Another pshat is that they went to Mar ukva, that they knew that once they would ask the shaila of Mar ukva, they would be obligated to follow the psak of Mar ukva. Because once a Rav has asked the Shaila, you have to follow that psak. They didn't want to, they prefer to ask the question of Rav. Rav was the Gadol Hador, and therefore they changed the mind, and instead of asking the question to Marukva, they asked the question to Rav. So says the Gemara, Avchur Shadrur Kamei de Rav. So they reversed the opinions. The opinion of Shmuel and Kana were reversed, and that's how the question was sent to Rav to render a decision. Rashi explains that they purposely turned around the opinions of Shmuel and Rav, Shmuel and Karna, because they knew that Rav was a colleague of Shmuel's, and he would therefore be reluctant to disagree with Shmuel, and they really wanted to know what Shmuel and why Shmuel says what he says, and if Rav concurs, so they purposely turned it around, which many Mefarshim obviously find great difficulty with, because they explain, is it permitted under any circumstances to say anything but the truth, even for Divrei Torah, that they turned around the opinions of Rav and Shmuel? And therefore some of Farshim suggest that given that Rav took Shmuel took a more stringent opinion here than Karna, they were concerned as follows. Perhaps Rav will agree with the opinion of Karna, but he'll say, in respect to Shmuel, I'll be machmer and I'll follow the opinion of Shmuel. So therefore, because he had such great respect for Shmuel, so therefore, to avoid such a situation, they reversed the opinions. On the other hand, many Mefarshim disagree with this entire approach, and they say it's inconceivable that they purposely reversed the opinions of Rav and Shmuel, and therefore they explain that it happened by accident that the opinions of Rav and Shmuel were reversed as this was sent to Rav. And in fact, the Paiskim, the Mefarshim, discuss at great length the requirement that we always be absolutely truthful. We have to, and even in areas where it refers to trying to understand a halacha, I did see one or two exceptions to this rule, which of course have to be understood. One is if a parent wants to change the time on a child's alarm clock because he wants to make sure that the child gets up in time to daven, to learn. So there are paiskim that suggest that may be permitted. The Shal Satshuvas Petzela Chochma discusses a very interesting question. He says that sometimes Rabbonim are very busy and they're not available to answer all questions. So let's say a Rav has a policy that he only answers questions that are lehalocha lemaisa. He only answers questions that are relevant. The person has to know how to do something. And if somebody has a legitimate question, he's learning yeshiva, he's learning a beis medrash, he has a real question, but it isn't halacha lemaisa, it doesn't involve something that he needs to know how to act. But this person wants to get an answer. Perhaps, says the Shas Chuz B'Tzela Chachma, he's allowed to tell the Rav that this question is halacha lemaisa in order that he should be able to receive a response to his question. However, the Paiskim go on to discuss an interesting situation. Let's say somebody is at a din Torah and he wants to set forth an argument which he recognizes that argument may not be 100% truthful, but he's saying it just because he wants to make his point, because this is the way he'll be able to prevail. The Paiskim are very strong in indicating there is never a heter, there's never permission to lie. In fact, the Paiskim discuss another situation. The halacha is that a Beis Din is three dayanim. If one of the dayanim who's sitting on this Beis Din says eini yodea, I don't know the psak, so the Shulchan Aruch tells us we have to bring new dayanim to this din Torah until we can come to a quorum and to a decision. There was a situation the Paiskim discuss where there were three dayanim, two of the dayanim had one opinion and the third dayan had another opinion, but he recognized that he'll lose. And he was convinced that he was right, and he was convinced that anybody else other people would also recognize that his opinion was the direct opinion. So the question the Paiskim ask is, may he say any idea, even though he really does have an opinion, may he say that he doesn't have does not have an opinion, and rather that other Dayanim should come and be added, and he's convinced that then those Dayanim will agree with his opinion. The Shvus Yaakov suggests that it may be permissible. However, the Brikka Yosef and the Shalos Tshuvos Rav Halim, and they actually use our Gemara as a source, the subject that we just discussed, that it's never permissible, even for the purpose of learning, to say anything but what's the truth. Specifically, say the Paiskim, that there may be other situations. I saw that the Paiskim suggest that one may say something which is not 100% true. For example, the Paiskim discuss, let's say I know something confidential about another person, and somebody asks me that question, and I don't want to break a confidence, so even though saying any idea is not 100% true, because I really do know, the halach is that I may say any idea, because I'm trying to protect a confidence. Similarly, I saw the Paiskim discuss that let's say someone smokes and someone else approaches him for a cigarette, and he doesn't want to give this person a cigarette because he doesn't want to help this person to get into this terrible habit of smoking. So the person asks him, do you have a cigarette? So he says, I don't have a cigarette. The purpose of him saying it is not because he wants to lie, he just wants to prevent his friend from smoking, if may be permitted then not to be 100% honest. However, the Paiskim do teach us that even in the circumstances where perhaps not being 100% truthful may be permitted, we have to be very, very careful in using this. First of all, when one begins to not always be honest, it becomes very complicated, and a person may start falling down the slippery slope of not being honest under all circumstances, which of course the Torah so very much requires of us. Furthermore, the Paiskim and the Mefarshim say we have to be particularly careful in being honest around children, because children are very perceptive, and the chinuch of our children is so very vital, and in any way teaching them anything but being 100% absolutely honest can have very serious and detrimental repercussions. In fact, I saw that the Shalach quotes, he says, "Risi chassid echad." I knew a chassid mihasfardim, from the Sfardim that lived in Yerushalayim, he says, who was extremely careful about in teaching his children and to be honest. He says that if one of his children would do something inappropriate, he would tell the children as follows: if you will be honest and admit what you did, I will not punish you, and just be careful not to do it again in the future. However, if you will lie to me and not admit to what you did wrong, then I'm going to have to punish you. And that's what he used to do. In fact, the Shlosh says when they were honest, he would even reward them, just as, because it's so important to teach our children the Midas Ha'emes. So they went and they asked this question. They went and they reversed the opinions in this Shiloh, the opinions of Karen and Shmuel, as they presented this question to Rav. Amalhu, so Rav told him, Halakim. He said, a Shvua, Tzricha Get v'Tzricha Miyun, both a Get and Miyun is required. V'chasle l'zer da Abba the name of Hachi. And I can't understand Shmuel, who was the son of Abba ba'Abba, should say anything else. Asked the Gemara of Tamamai, and why is indeed the reason that both a get and mian are required? Amar of Acha Bereder of Ika, Tzricha Get, a get is required, Shem Nisratza Abba Kedushin, because maybe the father was satisfied with the Kedushin, and therefore she's a full-fledged Eishes Ish, and a get is required. So the Rishonim discuss what would be the mechanics, and what would be the, how would this kedushin be valid? There are two opinions in the Rishonim that I saw. One opinion is the opinion of the Rosh, that the Rosh, as we learned in the Gemara on Daf Yotes, that a father has a right to tell a daughter, see the Kabli Kedushayach, he authorized her to accept the Kedushin, and that's the situation here, that perhaps it's considered a situation that the father allowed the Kedushin to be valid. It's a variation of the same principle. The Ritva, however, says that the principle in effect here is a Gemara that we learned in the Avav and the Av Zayin, the principle of Arev, that the halacha is that a woman doesn't necessarily have to accept the kes of Kedushin for her to become a Kedushin, by saying that a third party should receive the money instead of her, the Kedushin becomes effective. So here too, since the father agreed to the Kedushin that his daughter accepted, it's like the daughter being the third party, and such a Kedushin is effective. What is the nafkamina between the opinion of the Rosh and the Ritva? So the Farshim say there are two very fundamental nafkaminas. One nafkamina is that does the kes of Kedushin have to be still available at the moment that the father becomes aware of the story? According to the opinion of the Rosh, it doesn't have to, because the daughter, according to the Rosh, had authorization, Tzivik Habli Kedushayich, to accept the Kedushin. However, according to the opinion of Ritva, it's only when the father actually agrees to the Kedushin, that's when the Kedushin becomes valid, and therefore the Kedushin money must be available at that moment. Which essentially we're saying is, from what moment is she Mekudeshes? According to the opinion of the Rosh, she's Mekudeshes from the moment that she actually received the money, whereas according to the opinion of the Ritva, she's only Mekudeshes from the moment that the father becomes aware of what happens and agrees to it. There are Mefarshim that want to suggest, going back to something we discussed at the beginning of our shir, that perhaps the Rosh is referring to a girl who's a Nara, and the Ritva is referring to a girl who's a Ketana. This Rishonim debate if the same concept, if what will be the din if the father says specifically and explicitly Shalai Nisratza, that he wasn't agreeable to this Kedushin, would we have any concern or not? Many Rishonim say that if the father is telling us explicitly that he isn't satisfied, then the Kedushin would not be a Kedushin. We can't say Shem Nisratza Av. Others, however, suggest that even if he's saying that he's not agreeable, the Kedushin maybe is still a Kedushin, because maybe he changed his mind now. Now the question is, why is Mion also required? Tzricha Mion. Maybe the father was never satisfied with the Kedushin. For Yomru, ain't Kedushin Taifsin Bachoisa. What's going to happen is that she's getting a get, as we just said a minute ago. But really, she is not a Mugureshes, because the father was never satisfied with the Kedushin. And given that the father was never satisfied with the Kedushin, there was no Kedushin here. The halacha is that one may not marry a chois grushasai. Not only may he not marry a chois grushasai, the Kedushin is entirely not valid. But people who see that this girl got a get will think that she was a Mugureshes. And if this man will now marry her sister, people will think that a get is not even required. Why? Because she was a chois grushasai, because they saw the get. Therefore, to avoid such a mistake, miun is also required. Om Rav Nachman, however, says Rav Nachman, when is this discussion? When do we have this discussion that the that tzricha get with tzricha miun? Who shishitchu? It's where there was a shidduch between this man and this father previously. And the simplest pshat is actually the pshat of the Taz. The Taz says that we're referring to a situation, according to Rav Nachman, where this father and this person who had done the Kedushin were already in discussion about him marrying the daughter. So since there was such a discussion already taking place, we can assume Shem Nisrat So'af. Other Mefarshim don't necessarily require such a circumstance. They say if we see that the father was anxious to marry off his daughter, so there, if a father is anxious to marry off his daughter, we could assume that perhaps this was an acceptable situation to him. There are even different opinions that says that the father was talking, the father had initiated conversation with this man. But that's a difficult pshat, because then to question if Nisrat So'av or Loi Nisrat So'av is somewhat far-fetched. Ulama says, Ula, afil miyun ainat tzricha. Even miyun is not required. Ask the Gemara. Does Ula mean to say that afagav the shidduchu, even though there was a shidduch going on between the father and this man, still we don't have to worry about this kedushin? It's very difficult. Therefore, says the Gemara, man the masniha, my masniha. Ula, explains the Gemara, is referring to a case of loy shidduchu. And if loy shidduchu, we have no reason to be concerned, says Ula, shema nisrat so'av. On the other hand, Rav and Shmuel, as Rav Nachman taught us, are referring to situation shishitchu, and therefore we have to be concerned shem nisrat so'av. In other words, there's really no machloikis between Ula and Rav and Shmuel, because Ula is referring to situation of loy shitchu, and Rav and Shmuel are referring to situation of shitchu. However, ikad amri, and first we're going to learn the Gemara the way Rashi teaches us the Gemara, Amu Ula, Ktanish and Iskatish Loyal Dasavia, if the Kedushin took place without the father's consent, Afilu Miyun and Itzricha, even Miyun is not required. According to this version, Ula is so not concerned for Shem and Nisrat So'av that even Sheshitchu, there is no requirement for Get or Miyun. That's the way Rashi learns the Gemara. Tosfos is troubled with Rashi's Pshat, because Tosfos says it turns out that the two versions of Ula represent two extremes. According to the first version, Ula agrees if there was shidduchu, then we have to get the mean are required. According to the second situation, Ula is never concerned, which is two extremes. Therefore, Tosfos explains the Gemara that there is no really halachic difference between the two versions of Ula. The nafkamina is really a nafkamina just in the wording of the Gemara. As I said, we're going to learn the Gemara like Ula. Like Rashi's explanation of Ula. Masa Rav Kahana. Ask Rav Kahana, the Mishnah, first Mishnah Masechta Yevamos, which speaks about the din of Yibam, someone, Rachman Tzlon, dies without children. So his wife falls to Yibam. But the Mishnah teaches us that if a wife of the brother, the widow of the brother, is an erva to the surviving brother, then there is no yibam chalitza, not to her, nor to her tzara. And the first example is bitoy. That means there are two brothers, Reuven and Shimon. Reuven has a daughter who marries his brother Shimon. Were Shimon to die, so Reuven's daughter is now falling to Reuven, to Yibam, the halach is that she nor her tzara are obligated or allowed to have Yibam Chalitza. However, says the Mishnah, V'kulam Yesu, if Reuven's daughter died before Shimon died, or Mianu, or Reuven's daughter did Miun before Shimon died, or Nizgarshu, or Shimon divorced Reuven's daughter before he died, or Shnimtzu Eilness, or it turns out that she's an Eilness, that there too there's no requirement for Yibam or Chalitza. And as the Paisk Mefarshim point out, even if Shimon was aware that she's an Eilness, it would not change the Halacha, because even though the Halacha is that if somebody is aware that his wife is an Eilness, the Kedushin are a valid Kedushin, still his wife is not a candidate for Yibam, because the entire purpose of Yibam is to have children. This woman is unfortunately unable to have children. And in fact, I saw that Sefer Chanukah HaTaira explains, we know that Pasuk says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avimelech, V'ata hashiv eshes ish, ki navihu. So Mefarshim ask, what's the difference that he's a Navi? If Sarah is an Eishes Ish and she's not allowed to be taken by Avimelech, it doesn't make a difference if Avram is a Navi or not. So says the Chanukah Satayra. Avimelech knew that Sarah was an idleness. And therefore, since Sarah is an idleness, he was saying that the Kedushin of Avram is a Mekach Tos. It's a Kedushin Tos. It's not really a Kedushin. And she's not an Eishes Ish. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avimelech, Ki Navi Hu! Avram Avinu is a Navi. He knows his wife is a idleness. And he still wants to remain married to her. And therefore the Kedushin is a valid Kedushin. In all these cases, so the same with Taurus, since the marriage terminated before the death of Shimon, the halacha is that Tzara is a candidate for Yibum Mechalitza. So the question is, Reuven's daughter, as we described, is married to Shimon. The Kitcha man, who married her off to Shimon? Elim, the Kitcha Avia, if we're going to say that her father married her off, but Mirun Sagila, can she do Mirun? The halacha is, as we've learned so many times, a father who marries off the daughter, it's a Kedusha deraisa. And a Kedusha deraisa, get ma'ayi boy. Is that a candidate for Mirun? Get is required. Allah, it must be referring to situation, the situation that we're discussing in today's sugya, the kochi iyanafshi, that she was mekadosh herself. And what is the Mishnah teach us? V'ktani debari miyun. So we see that under these circumstances, miyun is required, not like what Ula said. Says the Gemara, who ma'isav l'mum v'farakla? How does Ula defend his position? Kigoyin shenas l'maisi yisoyim b'chayav. There is a situation that a girl could have a father and she could still be a ketana, and the father loses the jurisdiction to marry her off. What is the circumstance? The circumstance is that we know that once a girl becomes a nesua, even a ketana, her father loses jurisdiction over her. And that's exactly what happened to her. Here, there was a girl whose father married her off, Kedusha Daraisa. She got divorced or almana from that. Now she went and married herself off to her uncle, and now her uncle passes away, or even if her uncle doesn't pass away, actually, she is a candidate for Miyun because the Kedushin are only a Kedusha Darabon. However, the Paiskim, the Mefarshim, do point out that this that was saying that a girl can marry herself off is only in the situation where she has a level of das, she has a level of intelligence. The Paiskim say that even if she's a Yisoyma B'chaya Av, if she doesn't have any level of intelligence, then she obviously cannot marry herself off. She would be married off by her father, by her family, but it would only be a Kedusha Darabanan because she's not under their jurisdiction. Mas Rav Amnuna, as Rav Amnuna. We learned earlier in our Masechta, the halacha is a Michael Lekroivim. We know, we discussed that a father has a right to sell his daughter as an Oma Avriya, but the owner or his son have to be able to marry her. So the Tana Kama says that if she would be married, she would be sold to a relative who cannot marry her, where yield can't be done, such a relative she should not be married to. She should not be sold to. If he or his son can't marry her. Mishomer Belazaimer, Michael Kroivim. She may be sold to such an individual. However, Bishavin, everybody agrees, Shemachra Amana L'Kayin Gadol, if she's an Amana to be sold to Kayin Gadol, or Grush V'Chalut L'Kayin Hedjet, that even though it's only, since the entire Isser is only Isser Chayiv Lav, where Kedushin is valid, there she could be sold to such an individual. And, the Mefarshim ask, if the father is a Kayin Gadol, so he can't marry her if she's an Amana. But his son can marry her. So of course she can be sold to a Kohen Gadol. He can't marry her. His son can marry her. Answer the Mefarshim that we're referring to a situation where the son, where he has no sons. So he can't marry her because he's a Kohen Gadol. And there is no son to marry her. So the question is, she's obviously a Ketana. Because otherwise the father cannot sell her. The question is, Hi Almana Hechigdami. What is the situation that she's considered an Almana? If her father had been Mekadosh her, And now, the halacha is that the question is, to whom may he sell her? The question is, me matzim asbin law? Can he sell her at all? Once a father married off his daughter, he loses the right to ever sell that daughter. Elav, what must be the case that Bryce is referring to? The kacha iyanashi, that she had married herself off, and yet we see the kakarale amana. So we go back to what we discussed at the beginning of today's shir. We see that a person does have the ability to marry off. A girl's marriage that she marries herself off is considered a valid marriage. And says the Gemara, Amrav Yitzchak, Hacha b'kedusha yiyud. V'alivid Rav Yosef Yehuda, Damam Marius Rishonis, Lav l'kedusha nitnu. This is actually a sugya that we discussed at the beginning, earlier in our Masechta. As we just said, the father has a right to sell his daughter to be an Amar Avriya. And when the father sells his daughter as an Amar Avriya, the din is that the owner or his son could take her as a wife. The question is, what are the mechanics of that kedushin? Some hold that the original money that the father received when he sold her turned into kedusha kesef. If that's the case, we would have indeed a situation where the father married off his daughter. That the din is, once a father marries off his daughter, he no longer has the right to sell her as a shifcha. However, the opinion of Rabbi Yosef Yehuda is different. He says the original money that the father receives is not kedusha kesef. The money he receives is money that he's receiving because he sold his daughter as a shifcha and is entitled to payment. Rather, the money he receives, the way the kedusha works is, she's the maid of this person or his son, and she has to work, and with them marrying her, and she no longer having to work for him, for them, that's the kedushin. That's how the kedushin are affected. According to this, the father had never married her off, because the money he received was for her being a shifcha, for being an amma, not for being a wife. And therefore, the halach is that you can't sell a daughter after you married her. But you could sell a daughter if you'd ever married her. Here, if marrying her off. Here, there was not, according to Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, it was never the father who married her off. Itma, says the Gemara, Mace, if this man, who was Mekadosh Tiktana, Shaloi Ladasavia, without a father's knowledge, passed away, as she now falls to this man's brothers for Yibum, Amar Afuna Amar Rav, Mamenis L'Mamoroi, as we discussed in the previous shir, the halach is that the Yavam Midrabanan should do Maimer. So the Rav teaches us Maimer should be done if there was a Maimer, Ve'im Mamenis L'Zikosa. But if there was no Maimer, Mion should not be done. Ketzat, ask the Gemara, what exactly does Rav mean? Says the Gemara, Asuba Maimer, if the Yavam did Maimer, the halacha will be Tzricha Get, Tzricha Chalitza, V'Tzricha Miun. And the Gemara explains each one of the things why. Tzricha Get, a get is required. Shem Nisratza Ab Kedusha Sheni. We have to be concerned that this Maimer that the Yavam did is a valid Maimer. And since she's Mekudeshes to him. And since she's Mekudeshes to him, so a get is required. Tzricha Chalitza. Chalitza is required. Because we have to be concerned. Shem Nisratza Ab Kedusha Rishon. Maybe the father was satisfied with the first Kedusha. And therefore, she's now a Yavama. Well, Chalitza is required. On the other hand, Tzricha Miun, Miun is required, for we have to be concerned, Shema Loi Nisratza Av, Loi B'Kedusha Rishin, V'Loi B'Kedusha Sheni, the father is not satisfied, not with either Kedushin, and therefore, she was never a married woman, but we see that she's receiving a get, and since we're receiving she's receiving a get. If this man will now go marry his sister, people will say that kedushin is totally invalid. Why is it totally invalid? She's an achos grusha soi. V'yomer ein kedushin tovs machos soi. But it's not true. The get was only given misafik. The get was only given because we didn't know what the halach is, and therefore we require niyun also. However, loyos b'mamer. If the Yavim didn't do Maimer, what would that didn't that be? And it's Rikhala Chalitza Bavad. The only thing that would be required is Chalitza. My Amrit, what are you thinking? That the Bari Nami Mion, shouldn't she also require Mion? Because it would not going to require Mion. People, Shemi Yomru, and Kedushin Tavs Machaisoi, people may think that the Kedushin with the sister were invalid because she's an Achais Ishtoi. Says the Gemara, since chalitza was required, everybody knows, says the Gemara, hakli yoidim achayis chalutza drabonim. Everybody knows that the prohibition of marrying achayis chalutza is only drabonim. And since it's only drabonim, midaraisa the kedushin with the sister is a valid kedushin. Everybody knows that then, and therefore we don't have to be concerned that if the brother marries his sister, that if he marries his sister, he may just send her away without a get when she is indeed an Eishes Ish. Domer and Shlokish, because Rish Lakish told us, can't shana Rebbe a chayis grusha, the issa to marry a chayis grusha is the raisa. However, the issa to marry a chayis chalutza is midivrei soifrim. Everybody is aware of it. It's based on a Mishnah and Masechta Yevamos stuff, Mem Aleph, and therefore we don't have to be concerned. Says the Gemara, Hana betray tava koshasu chamri tusi. There were two people who were drinking wine under a tree in Bavel. One of them took a cup of wine and gave it to his friend. Omer, your son, your daughter should become mureses to my son. Omer Ravina, says Ravina, I feel a man the Omer, even according to the opinion that we began today's shiur with, the Chashin and Shem and the Sratzaav, we have to be concerned that maybe the father accepted the Kedushin. Shem and the Sratzaav ben lo yaminin. We don't have to be concerned that the son accepted the Kedushin. There's a machlokes Rishonim. To what extent are we referring here? Some Rishonim say that even in a situation where there was a shidduch between this couple, we still don't have to be concerned for Shema Nisratza Ben. Others suggest that if there was a shidduch here, there we certainly have to be concerned. We're referring to a situation where there was no shidduch before. Amar Lay Rabbanan Ravina. So Rabbanan asked Ravina, "V'dilma shliach shavya." Perhaps the son appointed the father as a shliach, and therefore the kedushin should be a valid kedushin. Says the Gemara, "Lechotzef inish l'shavya v'u shliach." Nobody has the chutzpah of treating his father that way, of making him a shliach. It's disrespectful. In fact, I saw a fascinating story from Chaim Kanievsky. Chaim Kanievsky says that even though a father's allowed to do something for a son, just the son's not allowed to appoint a father as a shliach, still our Gemara teaches us how we have to be so super careful in the respect that we have for our father not to use him as shliach. And he says that one of the sfarim that he wrote is a sefer called Som or Choysov. It's a pirush on the Orchis Chaim La Rosh. He says, as he was preparing the manuscript for the sefer, one time the stipler, his father, came to visit him, and he saw the manuscript on the table, and he asked him, "What is this?" So he says, "This is the manuscript of the sefer that I'm about to print, and I was preparing it to take it to the printer." So the stipler says, "You know, I happen to be going to the printer for taking one of my svarim, and I'll take it along." So Rav Chaim agreed. Says Rav Chaim Kanievsky that this sefer took many years to be printed. and he says he always assumed that the reason it took all these years to be printed was because he used his father as a shliach, and we're learning now that one is not supposed to use a father as a shliach. Ask the Gemara, the Dilma, perhaps we're referring to a situation where a son had notified the father that he was interested in marrying this girl. And since he had notified the father that he was interested in marrying the girl, we should be concerned that the Kedushin, therefore, is a valid Kedushin. And there's a machlokes rishonim, what would be the mechanics, if this were indeed the case, how the Kedushin would be valid. Rashi and the Rosh seem to learn it would be in the concept of Zochen La'adam Shloi B'fonav. When we know that the son wants to marry this woman and the father of them marries her off, it's a concept of Zochen. That's how the Rav Chaim Oizer and Achiezer explains. The Chazon Ish disagrees. The Chazon Ish says we can never use the concept of Zochen La'adam Shloi B'fonav in a situation where it's not a pure schus, and marriage is not a pure schus. He can now not marry other people, and therefore the Chazon Ish explains that it's a regular minui shlichus. By notifying that this is the woman he wants to marry, it's as if he appointed the father as a shliach. Amar Rabbi Bashimi, says Rabbi Bashimi, Beferish Amamar, the Lai Savalahad Rabbi Shmuel. Ravina is of the opinion that we never have to be concerned Shem and Isratzo Av, and since we never have to be concerned for Shem and Isratzo Av, that's why the Kedushin, unless we know for sure, was done properly, we have no reason to be concerned. Says the Gemara, Hahu Gavra the Kaddish. There was a man who made erisin with a bundle of vegetables in the shuk. Amar vina, afilu l'man da amar, chashin Hashem nisratzav. Even according to the opinion that we have to be concerned that the father agreed, hani mili derech kavod. That's only if the kedushin was done in a respectable manner. Aval derech b'zayin, it was done in a non-respectable manner. Loi, we don't have to be concerned. Amalei Rav Achmed Diftel Ravina. So Rav Achmed Diftel Ravina asked the question, B'zayin demai, what exactly here is the disrespectful part of the Kedushin? B'zayin diyaka, if it means that the fact that vegetables was used, B'zayin the shuka, or does it mean the fact that it was done in the marketplace? What's the nafkamina? The nafkamina would be the Kaddish Bekaspa, that he did Kedushin with money, not just vegetables, b'shuka. But it was done in the marketplace. Or b'kisha de yarka, or it was done with vegetables, but it was done b'beisa. So it's vegetables, but it's not done in the shuk, it's done in the bais. Mai, what is the halacha? Says the Gemara, Amalei, idi v'idi. Whether it's done with vegetables, or whether it's done in the shuk, in both situations, derech b'zoinu. But it's very interesting to note. It's very, very interesting to note that the Shulchan Aruch doesn't bring down this din. And the reason the Pais can explain, Mefarshim explain why, because we are unable to determine what indeed is a situation of a Derech B'Zayin. And therefore the only situations that we could identify as a Derech B'Zayin are the cases that Al Gemara mentions, the case of Shuk or the case of vegetable. Any other situation, we don't have the right to consider a direct design. Says the Gemara, Hahu the Amal Krivai, there was a man who said the father wanted his daughter to marry one of his relatives, the Amal Krivai, and the mother wanted the daughter to marry one of her relatives. Kafsei Ad Amal Lo Tehevel Krivai. The husband agreed that the daughter should marry one of her relatives. And they made a Tanoim. And in fact, in Paiskim say, Al Gemara is one of the sources where we see that party should be made by when a couple gets engaged. The Mishnah Berurah also brings this down. However, Mishnah Berurah says it's not considered a full-fledged Sudas Mitzvah, and therefore it shouldn't be made, for example, a Friday afternoon, Erev Shabbos afternoon. He does say that all that's being served as cake and simple snacks, it can even be made Friday afternoon. Ad the Ochl v'Shasi, as they were eating and drinking, Asa Krava be'Igra, his relative went up in the roof for Kitcha, as Mekadishar. And now the question is this valid or not? Amabaya, Ksiv, the Pasuk says, Sheirus Yisrael, lo yasa avov lo yidab b'kazov, Klal Yisrael are honest, and therefore, we're certain if the father agreed to the original Kedushin, we don't have to be concerned about this Kedushin. Rav Amar, a different reason we don't have to be concerned. Chazaka en adam tarek b'sudim hashseida. If the father prepared the first sudas tanoim, the first engagement party, obviously that's what he wanted. My benayu, ikubenayu, what's the difference between these two pshatim? The loy tarek, if he didn't prepare. If the concern is because honesty, so it doesn't make a difference if he put in any effort or not. If the concern is enam tarek besuda, then it's a concern. In fact, I saw the Reb Tzadik HaKohen says this is why the Gemara says that Shira wasn't said by Kriyas Yamsuf, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said Masa Yodai Toivim B'Yam V'atem Omrim Shira. Here we see HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the one that created the Mitzrim, when there's a concept of Ein Adam Tarech B'Sudam Afseda. Says the Gemara, Niskatcha L'Das Aviyo. When the Kedushin was done with the father's knowledge, V'Holach V'Yom Dinas Yam, and then the father traveled overseas, V'Om the Venissus, and then the soon were done without him being there. Amar Rav, Achels P'Truma, if the husband is a Kohen, she may eat Truma, unless the father protests. Most Mepharshim explain that what is the reason? The reason is because Midaraisa or Arusa is entitled to eat Truma. It's only Gzered Rabbanan. Here we don't put it in fact. Vasyama Ein Achelus. Shema Yava Viv Yimcha. We have to be concerned that the father will come and protest and not be satisfied. And therefore, it turns out that she was a Zora and was not allowed to eat Truma. Says the Gemara, Hava Uvda, V'choshlo Rav L'Hod Ravasi. There was such a circumstance, and Rav was concerned for the opinion of Ravasi. Omer, Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak, Omay de Rav, how even Rav, who agrees that she's allowed to eat Truma, holds a Mesa and a Yarsha. That if she dies, and normally her husband is the one that inherits his wife, here he won't. Why? And the Mepharshim explained two ways of understanding Shmuel's qualification. One is, as we said, Truma she's entitled to Midaraisa. So since she's entitled to Truma Midaraisa, we're going to allow to eat the Truma. Yerushin, we don't have such entitlement, and therefore he doesn't Yarish and Tsar. Or another pshat is that since it's Mammon, by Mammon, Ein Hochen Achim, Mammon Achim Roiv, and that's why we have to be strict. Niskat Shaladas, the Kedusha was done with his knowledge, the Nisus Shaladas, the Nisuin took place without his knowledge, for Viokan. But the father is here. Rafuma Ein Oicheles, she may not eat Truma, Rav Yirmiyahu ben Abba Mecheles, and the Gemara explains. Rav Huna Amar Einan Mecheles, she doesn't eat Truma. Afilu Rav Amar Mecheles. Even according to Rav, in the previous Gemara says she eats. Hasamu Delay Isal Av. There the father isn't present when she decided to go under Nesuin. Avul Hocha Isal Av. Here where the father is there, Hai De Ishtek. This that is quiet is only obviously because Mirsach Rosach, that he's upset. And therefore, he certainly didn't agree to this Nesu'in. However, the Miri qualifies this opinion, and he says it's only if the father's in the city, but not by the wedding. If he's by the actual wedding, there we say his silence is certainly to be construed and understood as an agreement. Rav Yirmiyahu Abba Mecheles, he says, Afilu Rav Asi, even according to Rav Asi in the previous Gemara, that when the father traveled overseas, and Rav Asi said, Einai Cheles, Hasim Neshema Yova Aviv Yimcha. There we have to be concerned that maybe the father, were he here, or when he'll come, he'll protest. Aval Hacha, Medeshasek, if he's here and he remains silent, it must be because of Snuchias Nachala, he's satisfied with what happened. It's agreeable to him. Says the Gemara, if the Kedushin was without the father's knowledge, and then the Suin were without his knowledge, and he's here. Rav Huna Amar Cheles, Rav Huna says she can eat Truma if the husband's a Kohen. Rav Yirmiyahu Abba Amar Cheles, she doesn't. Amalula. Hadi Rav Huna. What Rav Huna just said is kechaim slishnaim is like vinegar to the teeth, kshar ashlainaim like smoke to the eyes. Hashta. Omah hasam. If in the previous case, the Kedusha deraisa, the father was the one that was Mekadishar, and therefore it's a Kedusha deraisa. Amrit, Rav Huna said, Lo yachlo, she's not allowed to eat. Hacha, where even the Kedushin wasn't done properly, Lakoshke, says the Gemara, Nirin Devei Talmud, it seems that where Rav Yirmiya, who is Rav Huna's Talmud, said is correct, Amr Rav, my Talmud Rav Huna, Hora v'nas b'masi yisom k'chayav. If we have a father who allows his daughter to have Erisin, and allows his daughter to have Nesuin, and he doesn't involve himself, it's obvious that the father meant to allow the daughter to have total independent rights. And since the father gave her total independent rights, she has the right to get married, and the marriage is considered a valid marriage, and that's why she's allowed to even eat truma.